To the piggery. Eumaeus was sitting outside his hut. There was a trestle table there, a bench along one side, and rough wooden stools at either end. As Odysseus approached, four huge, savage dogs, barking and snapping furiously, leapt towards him. Odysseus knew exactly what to do. He skipped to one side and sat himself down on one of the stools, dropping his staff to the ground. Still baring their teeth, the dogs growled but backed off, letting him be. According to the great retailer of myths, Roger Lancelin Green, Greek dogs can still be pacified this way, or could in 1958 when he wrote his Tale of Troy. Odysseus sat down hastily to show that he was a friend, a sign which Greek dogs still understand. Eumaeus shooed them away.
"Well done, friend. They were anxious to tear you to pieces. I can't think why. Not much meat on you, is there? Come inside and we'll put that right with a good meal. What do you say?"
"Thank'ee, sir."
Odysseus was faintly alarmed and more than faintly amused to notice that his voice had taken on the husky, piping whine of an old man. Athena did nothing by halves.
"That is most generous of you. May Zeus reward you for giving such a warm welcome to a poor old stranger."
"Please, think nothing of it. 'Tis my pleasure."
Eumaeus selected two plump and succulent young piglets for dinner. He put a flask of wine on the table and bade Odysseus help himself. As he butchered and prepared the meat, he talked about the state of affairs on the island. Odysseus received the strong impression from the volubility and flow of his chatter that Eumaeus was grateful to have someone to listen to him.
"Oh, yes, when I think of the care and skill with which my master laid down the vines, not the best wine in the world, but when you get a taste for it, you'd turn down a goatskin of the grandest Samian vintage for just one sip of it. And to see these bastards drinking it all down day and night, and how they abuse the palace. They piss in the corner of the great hall when they're drunk. It's true, I've seen them do it. And as for how they treat his wife, Queen Penelope, if my master saw, he'd slice their balls off and feed them to my pigs, so he would."
"Dear me, sounds like quite a man, this master of yours. Who is he?"
"Quite a man. Yes, he's quite a man. No, you know what? He's not a man, Odysseus. He's men. A son, a father, a husband. Well, that's not unusual, of course. He's a king, wise and fair, judges and rules with solemn justice. But he's a builder, too, planned and put together his palace almost single-handed. He's a sailor. I've seen him pull on two sail ropes, one with each foot, steering with his elbow on the tiller and using his hands to whittle a musical pipe. He can tend the flocks and herds, as well as I or any countryman. He's a warrior. Hand to hand, he wrestles like Theseus. Can throw a man three times his weight. The best bowman you ever saw. Shoots like Apollo. Never saw a swordsman his equal either. He can throw a spear further than anyone. Speaks the tongues of distant lands as if he were born there. And the wit of him, the cunning. Ah!"
Eumaeus tapped the side of his head. "In there, he has a mind the equal of Hermes for mischief and of Athena for wisdom. I don't know where his ideas come from. He can
sing, play every musical instrument, dance, juggle, shear sheep.
Oh, you can mock all you like, old man. But I tell you, my master is the finest. No."
Eumaeus broke off and shook his head. A tear welled up in his eye.
"Why do I say is when I mean was?
He is dead, then, this paragon?
Dead some, I don't know, 9 or 10 years. Lost at sea in the storms that followed the fall of Troy, that's the best guess.
Odysseus, I think I've heard the name. I've travelled the world in my time, heard a lot of stories. Let me think. Yes, I've been told about this Odysseus. He's alive, though, I'm sure of it. A wild fellow who's been wandering the seas for many years. Yes, yes, they told all about him. He fought in the Trojan War and was trying to get to his home island. That must be your Odysseus. My understanding of it is that he is still alive, very much alive.
Stranger, you are welcome here. I am happy to have you as my guest. For as long as you want to stay, there is room for you here. But don't think that by claiming my master is still alive, you are pleasing me. Odysseus is dead. It's horrible, but we've got used to it. He's been dead for years. Rumour and gossip about his being seen on Crete, in Libya, on the moon. That's just the poison of false hope. So please, no more of it.
Odysseus put up his hand.
I say what I say because it's true, not because I think you want to hear it, but I respect your wishes, and you will hear no more from me on that subject.
Thank you, friend. We'll talk of other things. Why don't you tell me a little about yourself? Life has treated you badly to bring you here. You talk like one used to command.
With great relish, Odysseus told a fantastic tale about a previous life on Crete. He spun a narrative full of intrigue, murder, and betrayal. It ended with his being held captive by Thesprotians, who were planning to sell him as a slave. He told Eumaeus that when the pirate ship put in at the harbour on Ithaca, he had jumped ship and fled into the interior of the island. The spirit of his great-grandfather Hermes, the god of liars, rogues, storytellers, and tricksters, was alive in him. Eumaeus listened, open-mouthed.
Dear me, friend, it seems we have something in common. Let me tell you my story.
Odysseus heard him out in some surprise. In all the years he had known him before the war, Eumaeus had never revealed his history. It seemed that he was the son of a king who once ruled over 2 islands. When he was only 10 years old, he was snatched by Phoenician pirates and sold into slavery. After numerous adventures, he ended up in Ithaca.
You and I have each escaped serfdom, sir. All in all, my luck could have been worse. Laertes was a good man to work for, as was Odysseus, his son. Now, look, Helios is almost in bed. Time we were too.
Lying in fair comfort on rush mats, Odysseus spent a long part of the night revolving thoughts and ideas in his head. How he could safely penetrate the palace, how he could punish the suitors, every last one of them, how he would take Penelope in his arms at last. But could all this be done on his own, with the help of his pig man and no one else? There was Telemachus. He was finally going to see the boy who had been a baby when he parted from him 20 years ago. At this moment, Athena would be in Sparta to bring him home.